put your website to work while you play. A website works 24/7, so no matter where you are or what you're doing, people can still find you online. Start building your website today at GoDaddy.com. It starts with a .com domain. Enter promo code 199MYLF, that's 199MILF, at checkout to get your .com for just $1.99. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Hello, everybody. I'm Sophie, and welcome to MILF Talk. Make your life fabulous. We're making self-help fun around here.
Yeah, I love fun self-help.
We like to talk about anything from parenting and money issues to sex, and dating. Seriously, I hope that listening will not only entertain you, but maybe help you a little bit along the way.
That would be nice.
Yes, I am a psychologist, life coach, and mother of two, and author of MILF 101, Make Your Life Fabulous. I'm passionate about helping people live authentic and joyful lives. So if you ever want to write to me and ask me an advice question, you can. You can find me on Facebook at Sophie Venable, or you can email me directly at makeyourlifefabulous@gmail.com.
Do it.
It's free advice. Hit me up. So, listeners of MILF Talk, please welcome the man who puts the odd in Todd. Todd Robert Anderson.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
You get applause just for being Todd.
Yeah, that's the odd and Todd.
How are you today?
I'm sleepy.
Yeah, I know. You were bitching about that.
Yeah, I'm very sleepy. Yeah. I think it's because I have been doing a deep cleaning of my house for the past week, and I'm exhausted.
You hear that,
ladies? And I was...
He went deep with the cleaning.
I went deep with the cleaning.
Yeah, it's hot.
Pulling the guck and the cat hair out from behind appliances.
Super sexy. It is.
I can only imagine how sexy it must have looked.
Did you get a little? Was Hillary like, thanks for cleaning?
I was too tired.
Oh, come on.
I'm exhausted.
Don't clean that much.
No.
Then you're cleaning too much.
Yes, I was cleaning too much.
That's too much cleaning. You overcleaned.
we watched TV. That's what we did.
Oh,
it was so exciting.
That's nice.
We cuddled and watched TV.
Anything good?
We actually watched... Not the Emmys. I didn't watch the Emmys.
I didn't watch the Emmys either.
But we watched a Nick Cage movie called Joe, which was...
I have trouble watching him.
Really?
Yeah. In Family Man, I could watch him, but I have a hard time watching him.
See, I like unhinged, crazy Nick Cage as opposed to like the more mellow, modern Nick Cage. I like Vampire's Kiss and those old Nick Cage movies.
You know, I know you just get what you get in life, and it's just personal taste. It's really actually just hard for me to look at him. Like, Yeah.
I get it.
I guess his acting is fine. You know, it's
a little weird.
It's fine.
He's a little crazy, but I like it. Yeah.
But I mean, good for him. I mean, you know, I'm not saying like he shouldn't do movies or anything. I just don't watch them.
No, I understand. Yeah. I don't watch most of the Nick Cage movies that come out these days, to be honest with you. But this
have there been any?
Well, they're all straight to video movies.
Oh,
now.
Okay.
Like bad thrillers. But this one was a drama, and it was really weird, and it was more old school Nick Cage.
Oh.
He was like unhinged and crazy. And, you know, drank too much, but had a sweetheart but hung out with hookers, and he was crazy. And that's what I like.
Yeah,
in
that's
Nick Cage.
That's like his perfect role.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for him. What's the movie? Wild at Heart. Do you remember that?
Oh,
Did you ever see that?
I saw that. The Lynch picture. Yeah,
that was rough, man. There was a scene in that has never left me. It's the beating.
Oh,
that happens kind of early on in the movie. I'm like, damn. Yeah. That was one of those moments where I started to click over into never, ever watching violent movies again.
Well,
it bothers me on a visceral level. I can't get over it.
But that's what David Lynch is always trying to do to people.
I know.
Bother you. Yeah.
But maybe it's just I'm too girly about the whole thing. But my problem is now with violent movies is that most of that shit has happened to somebody at some point.
No, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? And so, like, I kind of immediately go to that empathetic place and like, oh, I just can't do it.
I understand.
The movie's got to make me happy or I'm not going to watch it. I had to walk out of Slumdog Millionaire. I'm like, how good can the ending be? Like, these people are still living in hell. So I can't really, you know what I mean? I was actually on a third date with Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And I I had to like speak up. It was really hard.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm like falling in love with the guy and I'm like being all high maintenance and I'm like, I'm so sorry, but I can't watch
you
this
can't
anymore.
Watch that.
It's like not getting any better. And I know that this is a brilliant film and like, you know.
Yeah.
So we had to leave.
Yeah. I understand.
So
that.
I'm like, I'm going to be like, there's not going to be any fun happening but later. I'm just going to be crying.
I understand. So, but that, you know, those kinds of movies that are parallel reality a little bit more.
Harder for me to
watch than like, you know, Expendables 2 where
it's just blowing shit
up. I like that kind of violence where it's cartoony and silly.
Yeah, like, you know, the Diehards and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I watched a lot of those. I watched, you know, there was a period like probably in 95-ish, like around there, a few years in there, where I saw like every single movie that came out. You know, I was just, you know, especially if it was an action movie or, you know, anything. I just saw everything that came out.
Right.
You know, I was such a freak about movies. And now it's hard to get me to a movie. I really want to see The 100-Foot Journey because, you know, it's about chefs and my little girl's a little chef and it's all like,
and how food
beautiful
can solve racism or something?
So, I don't know, but I hear it's fabulous.
Yeah,
well, so.
It's produced by Steven Spielberg and Oprah Winfrey. That's all I know. I just did a parody of it.
Which have now become brands.
Yeah, yeah, I did a parody of it on my web series.
You did? What's your web series? Go ahead and plug.
Called,
you drove all the way out here.
It's called The Film Pigs, and it's on geeknation.com, the website.
All right, check him out.
You can see my parody of 100-Foot Journey
there. You can see his adorableness. And also your show, how's it doing?
You're the Worst is great.
It's getting great reviews.
Yeah, people love it.
People are excited.
Yeah, it gets funnier every week.
It's because it's... There's sex in it.
There's sex in
There's
it.
There's sex.
And people behaving poorly.
Yes. That's a great combination, isn't it?
It sure is.
I love it. Okay, so the other thing that's all over the internet and in your face constantly all day long, right now at this point in history, I'm just going to like date this program.
Okay.
Is the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you can't do that here in Southern California, though, because there's a drought.
Yeah, it ain't cool. But so I did not do the bucket challenge. And I'm not challenging you to do the bucket challenge.
Were you challenged by somebody? Oh, okay.
No, I was not. And don't challenge me because I won't do it. I donated. Okay?
That's fair.
I did. I donated. I and I am using my water that is expendable to water my plants.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm doing everything I can.
Yeah, I just heard about someone doing something called the rice bucket challenge. Where it's you give rice to somebody who needs rice.
Oh, that's kind of cool. I was going to say, don't tell me they're dumping the rice because that's not good for the birds.
No,
and that's not,
it's sort of
rice.
Yeah, it's sort of that's sort of the point. Here, let's do something good with this rice other than dump it. Because it is sort of a waste of water to dump a bucket of ice water on your head.
Well, it's, yeah.
I'm just saying.
I mean, I get it. It's fantastic that it's raised awareness.
It is good.
And
is
awareness
good.
Is always a very, very good thing.
It is a good thing.
Yes. But in, and it's,
maybe there's a, you know, you could give a bucket of water to someone who needs water.
Hey, let's do the bottle of water challenge, right?
There it is.
Actually, let's do the eliminate a pound of meat from your diet once a month challenge. And
there you go.
And then we'll save 2,500 gallons of water. Per pound of beef. And so really, actually, the drought, just so y'all know, Southern California is really, it's really an agricultural and issue, you know, and I'm not a vegetarian and I'm not telling anybody to be a vegetarian, but beef is the most inefficient food source on the planet. And it literally takes 2,500 gallons of water per pound of meat to produce it. So if you want to just go ahead and enjoy your shower, 6-7 minutes or less, and just take a couple days this week and don't eat some beef.
Yeah, have right? chicken
and have
fish.
A guilt-free shower.
Guilt-free shower.
All right. Yeah. Or have some beans.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Have beans and rice or something for a meal instead of some beef, and enjoy your shower.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's
all I'm saying.
That's a good call.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
you fixed the drought.
I personally fixed the drought.
Well done.
Well, I always thought that like No Meat Monday was like a great idea because I never really understood why everybody had to be like, I'm a vegan, I'm a vegetarian, I'm this, I'm that. It's like, why don't you just eat less of it?
Yeah.
Like, why does it have to be one way or the other?
Yeah, moderation. Everything in moderation.
Right? You know?
That's balance. Anyway.
Speaking of balance, my life is going to get back into balance tomorrow. My children are going back to school. Oh my God, I love them so much.
Yeah, but you need them out.
Well, and you know, it's not like they're uber demanding at home or something. It's more the driving, you know, and the stuff getting them places and all that. But I don't really watch a lot of TV, you know, mm-hmm. when my kids aren't home, it's quiet.
Right.
When they are home, I mean, it's fine. I mean, you know how much I love Friends. That's on a lot. And Modern Family's on a lot. And
sure.
And they don't watch, you know, I don't let them watch ugly stuff, you know, but, and they don't want to, but it's the noise and the sound and the inability to focus and concentrate. And I have barely written anything in the last.
Yeah. I only have one kid, and when summer happens, I'm like, I'm not getting any personal work done. That's it.
Well, and it's like when you have a baby and you can't get anything done and they supposedly sleep 20 hours a day. It's like, no, they don't. And that's not true. I couldn't get anything done and I could never sleep and I couldn't, you know, I don't know what it is. It's divided attention, maybe.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, my kid's 8. So if I'm trying to write something and he's home, I'll get about 10 or 15 minutes of writing. And then he's in there asking me, hey, dad, hey, what about, hey. I just did this thing on Minecraft. I built this thing on Minecraft. And I'm constantly hearing Minecraft stories. And I'm a dad, so I gotta be polite and listen. But
yeah, you gotta
I don't care about what you're doing on Minecraft. Stupid game.
I know. Mark works at home too. Like, he does a lot of his work at home, and you know, he's always under deadlines, and you know, with advertising and stuff. And
and then he's got to lock the door.
He is the whole world, you know, to his sons, and they just. I mean, they would just sit next to him and just talk to him all day if they could. You know, it's so cute.
Yeah, it is cute. But when you're trying to get something done, it's difficult.
It's pretty. Working at home is a mixed blessing.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Just like everything. But you know, these are good problems to have. So
they are good problems to have.
Yeah. So so speaking of going back to school, the one thing I have kind of a bone to pick, and you know, maybe from your perspective, having a boy, I don't know if it's a big deal, but my girls, both of their schools have these dress codes, and I'm all for the big debate right now is like the people that are coming out against the dress codes are saying like this is sexist and
Well, what are the dress codes exactly?
Okay, sorry.
What is the dress
code? Backwards. Okay. Yeah. There's certain things like, you know, dresses. They have to, the skirts and stuff have to go down to the fingertips,
sure,
you know,
sure.
And stuff like that. And you know, the boys can't wear their pants hanging down to, you know, they have to be pulled up.
Sure.
And then there's the whole issue with like the brands and the gang signs and like anything that is aggressive, violent, or you know, indecent on as a thing on your shirt,
like
you
it's
know.
Set like the t-shirt says something
Jack Mark said had like a sweatshirt that had just like a bunch of cats all over it. It was like this like weird sort of cartoony cat thing, and one of the cats is smoking a cigarette.
Oh, okay.
So he just stuck up a piece of duct tape over that one, and he still wears his shirt.
Okay.
He's fearless.
Yeah.
And
duct tape over the smoking cat.
Yeah, you know, whatever. But and so that's understandable. I mean, we don't want to be like promoting, you know, these things. That's fine. But then there's these very specific things like this. The straps have to be 3 inches. They can't wear spaghetti straps. Like the tank top I'm wearing, I would totally get dress coded.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
So it has to be a thicker.
Even though it's an incredibly positive shirt, don't you
think?
It
is. Says good happens.
Good happens.
Yeah.
And the girls can't wear leggings now of any kind.
What?
Well, because certain leggings, if they're kind of cheap, they're see-through. You know what I mean? Like, so your butt shows, and it's not even just that, it's that your butt shape shows. And so if you're going to wear leggings, you have to wear a shirt that covers your butt.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So
they were just wearing leggings with nothing.
Yeah, and sometimes this will sort of spill over into yoga pants or whatever. And
the yoga pant is that's just a societal problem at this point.
God, you and Mark could probably talk all day, but he hates it when I wear yoga pants.
I don't mind if you're wearing yoga pants while you're doing yoga, but right. I just like
just as a general uniform.
Every time I do the shopping, the grocery shopping in my yeah. family, and there's like constant yoga pants, and in the market, and
some ladies look really good in them.
Yeah, well, that's fine, and some don't.
Right,
you know, and that's not as fine. But it's more just like, regardless of whether you look good,
yeah.
or it's very distracting and odd.
Why is it distracting?
Well, yoga
and
pants
odd?
Like really get.
I'm thinking this is your problem.
They really get up into certain crevices.
And, well, yes, there and, is and the camel toe issue.
Yeah,
yes.
It's a little much. I mean, yeah, sometimes I'm in the mood for that, but not all the time. Not all the time.
Oh, well, let us just cater to your mood.
I don't wear like Thomas Magnum shorts. I mean, I would not wear that.
I don't know what those are, but I'm imagining what they are.
I remember Magnum PI.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Where you're like showing the whole package. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I don't, you know, do that.
Okay,
it's called modesty.
The issue is then really that yoga pants can be overly revealing.
Yes.
Okay, got you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get that. And so the school has this policy where you have to they have to wear a long shirt. Okay, and that's understandable, and I've kind of like come to accept the whole leggings thing because I do know that there are girls who will show up with leggings that might as well be tights.
Sure.
And they might as well be naked.
Sure.
And so unfortunately, and this is the conversation that I have to have with my kids, mm-hmm. is you must cater to the lowest common denominator
mm-hmm.
when making rules.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I live in an HOA. People will make a living room out of their driveway if you don't make rules about
right.
everything, which is right. annoying. Okay?
Yeah.
But what's frustrating is that even in fifth grade, you know, teachers will pull aside a parent and go, you know, your daughter really should be wearing a bra, or, you know, because their little booby buds are showing or whatever, you know, through their shirt. And then it's like, oh, but God forbid we see bra straps. And this is a frustration for me. And this is where the people that are making the argument that it's sexist, I kind of agree with them, because it's like, whose problem is it that you can't handle a bra strap or a tank top strap?
Yeah.
Like, what's up with shoulders?
Well, I mean, it sounds like I think there are dress, like my wife teaches second grade.
Yes.
And their school has a dress code.
Yes.
I don't know if it goes that far about bra straps and whatever. But I mean, the main reason that exists is because they go from kindergarten up through eighth grade, so they have the junior
right,
and when you have women, girls in, you know, provocative outfits,
yes.
it's very distracting to the boys who are coming of age,
yes,
and then it can get in the way of education. And
that argument really pisses people off.
Yeah, it really pisses people off
because they're like, why are you sexualizing my 12-year-old daughter?
Well, wait. Okay, this is my argument about that.
Please.
I mean, I understand that concept that it is sexist and one-sided, but I mean, I also don't think boys should be wearing provocative outfits. I don't know what that is exactly, but I mean, I think part of the we live in a kind of sexist
basketball
society
shorts?
At this point. Still, we haven't progressed as much as we like to think we have as far as male female battle of the sexes stuff, but. I mean, I think that when a girl is dressed in like super short shorts,
right,
and she's wearing a midriff,
yeah,
like
just like a bandeau,
that
should be dress coded, absolutely,
that is ludicrous.
It's not appropriate. Right.
And
what the school system says is, we want you to know this is not a beach or a mall. This mm-hmm. is a place of learning.
Right.
Okay. Sorry. Continue.
Right.
Yes.
So I mean. You know, that's just, I mean, I'm not a conservative person. I'm a very liberal person. Mm-hmm. But I do have that thing, you know, like I was at a school function and I was talking to a friend of mine, and she's we're both in our 40s and she's gay. And there was a 16-year-old girl who came up and was dressed like that at this like school function. And we both sort of looked at each other and then could not look at that girl again. because it was too, I mean,
you're feeling
was,
creepy.
I felt like a creep. Right, I'm like, I can't look at her in at all. And she was like talking to us and I was answering questions while looking up at the sky. So I wouldn't, you know, get arrested for being inappropriate. For you know, it's just like, I'm, you know, like I don't have a daughter and I'm really kind of glad I don't, because I don't know how I would handle that getting into those teenage years. But, you know, there I do have that one thing. It's like, you know, the sexist argument does make sense. But like I don't think I would let my daughter leave the house like that. I would be such an old school 1950s dad. You can't leave the house looking like that, young lady, just because it's too much for me.
Yeah, I think.
And the concept the argument that is, how could you sexualize my daughter? Right. I don't agree with that argument, because your daughters are dressing according to their, you know, pop culture idols, who tend to dress really slutty. So those are sexualized images. And so if they're dressing like these sexualized images that they look up to, then they are being sexualized.
I think that is a very good point, and actually a way to explain it to the teenager herself. Because here's the issue. Like, my daughter, when she's not in school, she wants to go to the mall. But she's spectacular. She's only 13, but she's like a little woman, and she's a swimmer, and she's curvy, and I'm just very jealous of her body. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, she's not consciously dressing to be sexually appealing.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. She's dressing, like you said, to look cute, to be fashionable, to be doing, to be with what's in, you know? I mean, even if she's not like dressing like Beyonce or whatever, she's more of like, she would shop at the Van store, but she's going to wear some really cute little jean shorts, which are what's in fashion. So that's what's available to buy.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Too.
Which is part of my frustration with this whole getting dressed in the morning and measuring your fucking tank top straps. Like, it just I live with girls.
Right.
We have drama all the time about what to wear.
Right.
Why? I mean, so, because I'm not going to let my kid walk out of the house and go to school and, you know, something completely provocative.
Right.
So the problem is, if I say to Julia, oh my God, like, what are you wearing? You can't go to the mall like that. It's going to be like, well, and it has been, but these are my shorts. What? They cover my butt. Like, you know, like, and I might say like, oh, okay, just barely. They're pretty short, you know. But I know that her intention, she's not like throwing on 3-inch heels and a bandeau like as well. She's got like a surf t-shirt on, you know, with them and some Vans.
Right.
And that's just the fashion.
Sure.
And I've been her. And I think this is the thing when you're talking to your teens, is you have to remember who you were, not your parents.
Right.
Because your parents might have been completely like strict in a way that you might even still be angry about. And I'm not saying that that's the worst thing in the world. We all have to find that balance.
Right.
But you have to put yourself in that mindset of being that 12 or 13 year old. She's not going out trying to have 40 year old men turn their heads.
Right.
That's not her intention. So don't shame them into thinking.
And a 16-year-old isn't dressing like that. But she is dressing like that to get the other 16-year-old boys'
attention. Exactly.
Attention.
No. Yeah. That, so there's this very fine line here.
And I think, you know, and honestly, I think in at the mall, in social situations, like at that age, I mean, you know, people mature at different levels, but at those ages, then you can make those choices in those social situations, as long as you like sort of have educated them about, you know, the way the world works and how to be safe and all that stuff.
Yes.
But with, you know, when you get younger than that, when they're just aping somebody like, you know, current contemporary Miley Cyrus billboards, you know, then I Because, you know, I hear that argument all the time. Like I listen to Greg Proops' podcast.
And okay.
He's very, you know, very much about women's rights and all that.
Yeah.
And he mentions that. Like, and you're just a...
Mentions
like
which
that,
specifically? What,
that argument about, you know, it's not... You're an old man, and it's not these girls' responsibility
fault, right, to worry
to
about
keep
you.
Your creeping it. And,
yeah.
And I see that argument.
Sure.
And that's why I'm saying, like... You know, in different situations. At school, though, I mean, I think it's okay for a school to sort of. I mean, schools can go too far with
right.
these rules, but I do think it's okay to have some kind of dress code.
Because there are girls, and again, you have to cater to the lowest common denominator. When I say that, I don't mean these girls are low. I just mean like you have to look at the like how far will people go. You
right.
know, if there isn't a rule, right, and you have to sort of make the rule based on that. But there are some. You know, 13, 14-year-old girls who will.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Wear a very short skirt and a very low-cut blouse
yeah,
to school.
Sure.
You know,
yeah,
I
yeah.
mean, some girls are a little advanced and they're working
sure.
their goods, you know, because
yeah.
they want to be popular and,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So you have to, and school's not the place to do it.
That's
right.
what I'm saying.
School's not the place to do it. And I do think that that's what they're saying.
Right.
You know. But I'm still a little bit stuck on why the shoulder is such a problem.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's weird. And actually, I was reading an article where a girl said she had a tank top on and the guy next to her had a tank top off and
uh-huh.
he got sent to the office to go get a new shirt.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then
I'm like, "Hey, all right. Well, if they're working it both ways."
Yeah, then you're not talking about sexist dress codes. You're just talking
right.
about they're holding everybody to that.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. But my daughters are just like completely so irritated by the tank top rule because it's so like, what is wrong with seeing my shoulders or my bra strap? Like, why is
yeah,
that a
I
big deal?
I don't think that's a big deal.
I really
deal,
think it's a very old school big deal. I think when
maybe.
It was like, let's just pretend women don't have breasts and they don't wear bras and
yeah.
they don't, you know, it's like.
That's the that's like what I'm saying about, you know, taking these policies too far.
Yeah.
I think there's a place where, you know, if you're like when I was in high school, this exchange student came in with like her clothes were all ripped so you could see her underwear.
Oh,
she was stunningly gorgeous. But she got sent home because, I mean, that was a provocation that she was doing. And
right.
I grew up in a very conservative town. So
right,
was
right,
like,
right.
What? It was
what?
Like, so I didn't want them to send her home at the time. But but they did. But I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think you can go too
yeah.
far with the provocation. I mean, that's what you're
well, absolutely.
Doing is distracting and, you know, it's not conducive to education on any
well,
level.
And you know what? I have to say it's not just distracting to the boys. It's distracting to the other girls.
Everybody, yeah.
Who get like, oh, well, look at her. Why is she, you know, wearing that? And she's trying to get everything. And it just causes more cattiness and more drama and more everything. And,
right.
you know, that's just human nature, unfortunately. But it's a very... It's, you know, I can see why it's kind of, it's causing conflict and, you know, the ACLU is getting involved in some school districts and, you know, I mean, it's like, is this an infringement on people's rights and is it sexist and, you know, where is this coming from? And some schools just choose not to have dress codes, you know,
mm-hmm.
And others sort of insist on it and they use fear as
yeah.
the tactic, like, oh, well, we're trying to avoid gang issues,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, fear. Who's going to disagree with that? You know,
right.
So
right.
It's, you know, it's interesting because where do you draw that line? Like, where is this an infringement on my rights and who decides what is distracting
mm-hmm.
and some might say, well, why can't you just sort of, you know, teach your boys not to be distracted and why can't you, you know,
come
and it's
on.
Like,
I mean,
that's
a terrible argument.
And that's a really, no, I agree. I think
argument.
It's like, well, wait a minute. Then again, we're sort of, you can be on the flip side, sort of puritanically denying the natural chemistry of adolescence.
Right.
Right. I
right.
mean, so on one side, you can say, well, you're being so puritanical, like, I can't show my shoulders or whatever, or my butt, and it's distracting. I have a butt. Deal with the
right.
fact that my butt's not sexual. It's like, actually,
Right.
It is. And I mean, it's, you know, it is a sexual part of the body, right?
Sure.
I mean,
yeah.
Boobs and butt.
No
right?
way around it.
And so that's not a strong argument, you know, to say like, well, why are you sexualizing, you know, that part of my body? And it's like, well,
there's nothing. There's
you're all
nothing,
curvy and still. And
yeah, there's nothing anybody can do about
right.
that. Yeah.
So on one side, you're saying like we're going to be puritanical. You're being too puritanical. And on the other side, it's like, well, OK, but you kind of need to acknowledge and accept the fact that there is a chemistry going on here. We can't pretend that there's not.
Right.
You've got adolescent boys and girls in a co-ed school and you want to create as little distraction as possible.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So I guess it's really all about the balance.
I think so.
But I'm still holding to my argument that shoulders are not a big deal.
I agree. I don't know what the big deal is about shoulders.
Yeah, it's like I would go to the school about it, but it's like I don't really need you to get rid of your entire dress code.
Yeah.
Like, I get why you have to have some guidelines in place.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't want to see the boys walking around with their freaking boxers here and their jeans under their butt.
Right. Right.
That is, who decided that looked good?
I don't know. But
that is the stupidest looking thing I've ever seen.
Does that still happen?
Oh, man.
I thought it went out of style.
No, I think it's still happening.
Because, you know, real gangbangers don't dress like that anymore.
I don't even
know.
I don't even think
they dress in suits so the cops won't look at them and go, that's a gang. Because everybody's wearing their pants down to try and act like they're gangsters.
Right, but I don't even think it's about gangsters anymore. I think it's just like it's like a skater thing or something. I don't know. Which is stupid because how can you skate with your pants halfway around your knees?
Yeah, I mean, don't these people worry about like their pants falling down and being embarrassed?
No, I have that question myself.
Yeah, that's very odd.
Why do you want the waistband like literally kind of like almost under your butt?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it either. But yeah.
I mean, are they showing a provocative butt crack?
Well, I think maybe to some degree, maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I'm old. I never wore my pants like that.
You're like, I got them pulled all the way up under my boobs.
I had them under my chest.
I got them under my band boobs.
Yeah. Exactly.
With some suspenders.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to distract anyone.
Well, I'm going to institute a dress code in
here
the studio.
At Mel Talk.
Here in the studio. Scott, you're screwed.
What's your dress code going to be? What am I not allowed to wear when I come?
Turtlenecks.
Nobody
is allowed to wear turtlenecks. No, because it makes me sweat when other people wear turtlenecks. It makes me really uncomfortable.
I understand.
I hate being warm.
Yeah, well, too warm, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like to be too cold either. Right?
No.
Do you like cold weather?
I would prefer that. I can wear a jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's only so naked you can get.
You can afford warm beverages and a parka?
Exactly. That's fun. That's like cozy. That feels like this is like fun. I don't know how else to say it.
It's too hot. You're not a lizard. That's what you're saying. No. You're warm-blooded. No. You don't. I get it.
No.
Yes.
So, all right. Well.
So we fixed the drought. Have we fixed the sexism in dress code problem as well?
Well, yeah.
Is everything fixed?
Well, no. But I think that ultimately, I mean, because I'm sure I'm not alone when I say that there is drama in the household. Because just getting dressed in the morning can sometimes be like, I can't wear this. It's not long enough. It doesn't go down. And now my second daughter, who's going into middle school, she has really, really long legs. Mm-hmm. So she could wear something that goes down to her fingertips, which is proper. But she's still got like a lot. She's got so much leg. Mm-hmm. It looks like she's wearing a really short skirt.
But she's not.
And she's really not. And I know that this is another issue because sometimes curvy girls, like my daughter's best friend is like, she's 13, she's a double G. I mean, she's just really large-breasted. And so, you know, she'll get dress-coded more for certain things.
Right.
Although her mom has had a talk with the school. Like, hey, we're doing everything we can.
Yeah.
Okay. But
the school came down on her for like,
well, you know, if you get dress coded because you got straps showing and stuff like this, I think that they had to have a talk with the school and say, like, you know, this is, you know, you're being a little unreasonable here. You got to give her a little bit of leeway, you know,
right?
Everything we can. So, Don't quote me on that. I'm not sure if that conversation actually happened or was going to happen. So whatever. Right. I don't want my daughter to be like, hey, that's not true. But anyhow, but it's, you know, an issue that we've talked about. And some girls who have longer legs will get dress coded more often because it seems like their skirts are shorter and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how it goes with her. I think that there's this lesson that you have to teach your kids. I kind of struggle with going both ways. It's sort of like, well, those are the rules.
Mm-hmm.
You're in their house. You walk into somebody's house. It's the rules of their house.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so you have to respect that,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
However, if you are in the spirit of doing the best you can to follow the rules and you get dress coded,
mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna, you know, like,
you're not gonna
tear you a new one when you get in the car in your gym clothes, you know, and be like, why did you get dress coded? Because, you know, if they get dress coded, they actually lose points. And they have to like earn those points back by doing stuff. It's like, it's serious. Like it's a pain in the ass. And there are times when it's like, my skirt was the right length, but it was a windy day and it got blown up and I got dress coded. I lost 10 points and I'm so mad and it's unfair. And it's like,
yeah,
I know, it sucks.
You got to pay attention to the weather report.
It sucks, honey. Like, I know it sucks. And it's kind of dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. It's like that balance between like, yes, I kind of agree that the rules are dumb, but
they're the rules.
But they're the rules.
Yeah.
I think that's a kind of a difficult line to walk with your kids, you know, because you don't want to like teach them to disrespect all authority.
Well, that's like with cursing.
Oh, like God, with my that's son another one.
And
oh,
cursing,
my God.
What we've been sort of teaching him is that, okay, when you're in mixed company, which means when you're at school mm-hmm. or you're at a friend's house or whatever, you can't drop these curse words because you'll be offensive to other people or say, oh my, even like, oh my God, or Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, you can't say that around certain people because they'll be offended. Mm-hmm. So,
and then they might not let you hang out with their kids, which is a bummer.
Exactly. So when you're with us, you know, or even when you're with your friends that you know very well and it's mm-hmm. just you guys and you want to curse, okay. But just know to keep it, you know, close to the chest when you're out and about because you don't know who you're offending. So that's what we sort of, like, why offend somebody? Why ruffle somebody's feathers with cursing? So that's sort of what we teach them. And I think maybe it's sort of the same thing with the way you dress. You dress appropriately for places that you go. You're not going to wear a mini skirt, like a micro mini skirt and a tube top to a church.
No.
Right?
No.
So you just got to, I think, you know, I don't
Unless
think
you're
there
to
should.
Cause a scene.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's your thing. Being a stripper at church. That's fine. but, you know, I think that's sort of what, you know, parents sort of got to work on teaching their kids. Like, depends on where you're going. If you're going to the mall with your friends, then, yeah, you can wear your mini skirts and whatnot. But when you're going to school, maybe, you know, wear some jeans or something.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, the leggings and the yoga pants, kind of a bummer, though, because they're so much more comfortable. Jeans suck.
Yeah, I understand.
As far as, like, you know.
I love jeans.
I know, yeah, but, like, seriously, at the end of the day, like, I'm going to probably have, like dents and markings on my body from wearing jeans.
Because
they're not the best, most comfortable kind of clothing. I know everybody thinks they are, and Levi's would definitely want
you
to think they are.
Do you think we've been, as a society, we've been tricked into thinking something that's
absolutely
not true?
Absolutely.
You think it's really we should be wearing yoga pants? I'm going to start wearing yoga pants everywhere.
You wear jeans all day and then put on a pair of yoga pants, and don't tell me that you're not more comfortable.
I don't think I would personally be comfortable walking around in yoga pants. I think it would be very insecure about the way I look
know,
in yoga pants.
You know I love you, but I don't think you'd look very good in them.
I mean,
I'm not trying to be mean or nothing, because, you know.
I'll deal with the chafing of my jeans just out of politeness to my fellow man.
Yeah.
And woman.
I wish that somebody would make some more comfy like sweatpants that looked a little bit better, you know, like
Don't they make like sweat or like sort of the yoga pantsy legging thing, but they look like jeans? Don't they do that now?
Yeah, yeah, they do that. Yeah, but they still have that fabric that kind of like, you know,
chafes.
Well, shows everything.
Oh, shows everything. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The issue
that
you have with the other thing. So the jeggings.
Oh, the jeggings. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, with my body type, I haven't found the right comfy pair of pants. You know, I don't know. I'm a girly girl. I got like lumps and bumps. What are you gonna do?
I don't know.
I don't wear my yoga pants around my boyfriend anymore.
Because he's like,
he doesn't like them.
Why are you wearing them?
I don't know. He just does not think they're attractive.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, really? Do they look that bad? And I'm like asking my kids. I'm like, do I look really bad in yoga pants or something? They're like, no, you look great.
Yeah.
And they would tell me. Natalie would tell me. She'd be like, oh, Mom, no, you can't wear those. Yeah. Oh, no question. She would totally be honest with me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's just not his thing.
He just doesn't like yoga pants. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
I don't know. And apparently neither do you.
So, not a fan of yoga pants outside of the yoga class. It's just my thing. You can wear them in the yoga class.
That sucks.
And wear them to the gym or whatever.
Yeah, but apparently you can't wear them to middle school.
I guess you can do whatever you want. I mean,
I don't care.
I know. You can wear yoga pants enough. That's it. Wear yoga pants all the time. But I personally find it distracting. I would never say, hey, you should change those yoga pants for some jeans, proper jeans. I wouldn't say that to somebody. That's not what I'm saying.
All right. Well, that's good. Because, you know, that'd be just mean.
That would be mean. Yeah. Yeah. You can wear yoga pants. I don't care.
Hey, can I brag about my kid for a second?
Yeah, brag.
Because I was thinking about the whole, well, you said the word chafing, and it made me think of tri-slide, which is the stuff that triathletes use, you know, to like avoid the chafing with their stuff, and they get out of the water and they put on their socks and they put on their shoes. My kid did a triathlon this weekend.
Wow.
I know. She's so cool.
And how did she do?
She did great. It was a sprint try, and she did it in 1 hour and 8 minutes,
and she
was fourth in her age category.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, she totally kicked butt. She's a swimmer. She was like sixth out of the water. She the swim part she did great with. Wicked cold.
Yeah.
Wicked cold. But she, she organized all of her stuff. Like, she planned the whole thing out. Mm-hmm. She did her research, like how to do good transitions. Her transition time was like boom, boom, boom. And she killed it. It was so cool. I was so proud.
That's awesome.
It was so neat. Like, she's at the finish line and she's just like sobbing, like, I did it. Like, she was so tired. She was so tired. Exhausted. You know?
That stuff is brutal.
Really, you know,
this
really
is why I don't do it.
I know, but I have to tell you, it was kind of exciting and kind of a neat vibe of like the atmosphere was super cool. And it made me want to do it next year.
Oh, you're thinking about training for a triathlon?
Well, this one is like you can be in the category called just for fun.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you like get into the wave, like the group of people where you're not going to be slowing down the people.
Oh,
you
know? I see.
And so
just to do it.
Just to do it, because it's a 500-yard swim in the ocean, which I think I can do, because I think I had to do 400 for my scuba diving thing.
Uh-huh.
And then a 6-mile bike ride, that's not a problem.
Yeah, bike
rides. But it's the 2-mile run at the end.
Yeah, that sounds rough.
That sounds rough.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, man, there was this 82-year-old guy that ran by us, and like this 70. You write your age on your calf.
Oh,
so it was
okay.
Really, really cool at the finish line. You see these little kids sprinting by, and you're like, he's 10, you know, and they had like the mother-daughter, pregnant woman and her daughter.
Oh, my God.
Were doing it. Yeah, she was super cool. I met her. You know, it's really inspiring.
Yeah.
Guy with a prosthetic leg came running by. I'm like, yeah, go. I was at that finish line for like 2 hours because there was an event beforehand, just screaming for people, coming through.
Oh, I'll watch a triathlon.
Oh my God.
I just don't want to be in it.
So if I do it next year, will you come cheer me on?
Yeah, I'll watch. I'll watch.
All right. You might burn some calories.
Yeah, no. I'll drink light beer.
At 9 a.m. while you're watching the triathlon.
Like smoking.
Like, yeah, right on.
Smoking, drinking. Way to go, Soph. Long golf. Yeah, that'll be me. That'll be me.
Fit right in.
I'm a sports fan.
You'll fit right
sports
in.
Sports fan.
All right. You don't have any questions for me today, do you?
I can ask you questions if you want. I had some questions I wanted to ask you. Yeah.
All right, a brief mini. I'm kind of scared. Little tiny.
Don't be
quiz.
Scared.
Okay. What?
Well, you're a dancer.
Yes.
A sexy dancer lady.
Oh, thanks.
And you, so you like music. So I was wondering, because I love music. I'm a music person.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, okay, so what artist is your, is like an antidepressant for you? Like when no matter how bad, like you're mad, sad, whatever, if you put this music on, it'll make you happy. Like, for example, for me, that would be Huey Lewis on the News. It's got to be somebody or an album that you put on.
Right. Yeah, it's tricky when you say artist because, well, okay, for an album, you know what? I'm going to commit. I'm going to say Elton John.
Elton John, yeah. Nice. Just the whole catalog or specific?
Well, you know, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road and his first album, Take Me to the Pilot. Mm-hmm. I could put Take Me to the Pilot on. That'd probably get me out of any mood. That's just a really bitchin' song.
All right.
Yeah, I would say because, I mean, there are certain albums, Poetic Champions composed, Van Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
Also a really great one to just kind of chill to.
Yeah.
That's a really beautiful sort of introspective album.
Yeah.
That I like to, because you know, we're from that day when you listen to like the thing from the beginning to the end, right?
Right,
you know,
right.
So that, and there's a couple Seal and Sting Out. Right Said Fred, actually, he's pretty fun.
Right Said
yeah,
Fred.
Not just I'm Too Sexy. Actually, there's some really fun shit on his album. It's like good times. But yeah, I would. I'm just gonna commit and say Elton John because that's been since I was little. Since my whole life that album has had an effect on me in some very significant ways.
And who do you listen to when you want to rage, when you're just pissed and you want music to be pissed off with you? Do you listen
I don't listen to music.
You don't do that?
No, I don't.
You never like listen to Nine Inch Nails or anything like that?
No, I mean, I have listened to Nine Inch Nails, but no, I clean.
You just clean?
I clean.
You clean your house when you're pissed off?
Yeah, I clean.
But you don't listen to music?
Mm-mm.
Huh.
No, I can't. Because music really, I also can't talk in the car if there's music on. I can't have a conversation with music on. I'm very into lyrics. Uh-huh. My brain will go right to the lyrics.
Yeah.
Like if I have a gathering at my house, it has to be kind of like Brazilian music or something in the background.
Instrumental.
Almost instrumental, okay. You know, or yeah. Something that's so, you know, that doesn't distract me because lyrics are kind of one of my main draws into music. So and my brain will just go right there and I become unable to talk.
I'm into lyrics.
Hard
too,
for me to have sex with music on too.
Any kind of music?
No, it has to be instrumental mostly.
Instrumental.
Yeah.
Because if you hear the lyrics,
I just start getting into the song.
Is there what kind of music gets you in the mood? Is there a music that gets you in the mood?
Well.
Okay.
I don't know if this is like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a weekend in Yosemite with some wine and some Stevie Winwood Traffic.
Oh, Traffic.
Ugh.
Traffic's good. I see that.
Stevie Winwood is my, oh.
Yeah.
Well, I took him
Stevie
flowers.
Stevie Winwood Traffic. Do you like the 80s Stevie Winwood?
I love him. Yeah, like well, I went to the Roll With It in the back of the High Life tours. Actually, the Roll With It tour, I brought him flowers.
Oh yeah,
and I managed to. They didn't throw me out, but I went and I threw the flowers on stage, and he knew they were from me.
That's great.
But no, Low Spark of High Heel Boys. That's a pretty.
Yeah,
I don't know.
All right.
What are you gonna do? Can't say it would work right now.
No,
can't say. Just saying. Hey, look at.
I don't know.
Look at me enjoying the music combination. You know, it was unusual.
All right.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, those were my questions.
Okay. Well, all right. Music.
Yeah, music questions.
I like it. Well, that's our show for today. If you would like, did you know about this?
No.
This is kind of, I hope this is cool. If you'd like to support MILF Talk and show some love, you can support the show at Patreon. That's patreon.com/MILF Talk. Even $1 per episode will get you a free book.
Oh.
And my undying gratitude. So yeah, it's this kind of thing. Like you can support your projects, you know, like doing that. It's kind of neat. I don't know. I hope it's cool. I hope it doesn't just seem like I'm, you know, begging.
Oh,
but I am.
Just give Soph your money, would you? Jeez.
I need some gas money, people.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Be sure to set your DVRs for You're the Worst on FX.
Yes.
You can find me on Facebook, Soph Venable. And you can find my book, MILF 101, on Amazon.com. People seem to like it.
They do. Yeah. It's well reviewed.
That's nice. Yeah. All right. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.